I've been talking to a few women recently about the idea of people-pleasing and why they struggle with holding their boundaries and saying no. And I find it fascinating the number of times they say, I just don't know why it's so hard for me, even though I know it's the right thing and it's the thing I want to do. The answer is simple, and it's not what you think. So let's talk about it. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. So I was thinking the other week, it just occurred to me that I haven't recorded any intro or outro for this podcast yet. And at this point, I think I might just leave it this way. I don't know. We'll see. I'm in this weird space where I'm trying different things out just for the fun in my business. So we'll see. But hey, I'm glad you're here. Come, we're going to talk about people pleasing beyond boundaries and saying no. And if you haven't registered yet for my free masterclass coming up April 2nd to the 4th, what are you waiting for? Go to oliveandbliss.ca/selfish for all the details. It's going to be amazing. But today we're really going to hone in on this idea of people saying the key to stop people pleasing is to have boundaries and learn how to say no. And it sounds really simple, right? If it's that simple, why do we have so many people still struggling with people-pleasing? Why do we still have people calling themselves recovering people-pleasers? Because on the surface, it might look like they're not working hard enough, right? They don't have the willpower, or they really don't want it. But really, what I found is that it boils down to risk tolerance. I know, so silly, but it's such an important thing to realize. Because risk tolerance is a big deal while facing feelings that matter to you. And I think one of the things, if you really think about people who are invested in the stock market, like people who do investments, you have people who have different levels of risk. I'm one of those people. When I started investing, I was like, put me at the most minimal level, because I'd be the one who would not go to bed or sleep if things were not working, and I didn't want that level of stress. My husband, on the other hand, he has a high risk tolerance, and so his portfolio looks a little different from mine. That doesn't mean that any of us are wrong. It just means that it depends on our personality. And I want you to adopt this thinking when it comes to people pleasing. Because I think this is where conventional approach to people pleasing has failed us. We've made it so that people who struggle with people pleasing feel embarrassed, or they feel ashamed for not getting it like other people. And then you also have the people who have adopted this title of recovering people pleaser, as if that negates the fact that they still struggle with boundaries and saying no. It's almost like we're in this black or white thinking, whether thinking that it's either good or bad. But I want to invite you, this conversation is bringing you to look at the middle ground, because you really want to think about your personality and who you are and your level of risk tolerance. And when it comes to that title of recovering people pleaser, I know people in the personal development space who've been calling themselves recovering people pleasers for years. And I remember hopping on that bandwagon until I decided, nope, there has to be a better way. And I just said, I'm not calling myself a recovering people pleaser. I have people pleasing tendencies, and I fully own that. Because really, at what point does the recovery end? So I'm not going to tell you whether calling yourself a recovering people pleaser is right or wrong. That's your decision to make. What I want to do instead is to invite you to contemplate and start to question some of the new norms that we've adopted, because we think that it makes us societally acceptable. I remember when I made the conscious decision to stop calling myself a people pleaser. Up until that moment, everything I ever learned about people pleasing was wrapped up in shame. And I have to change myself, and I have to do differently or be differently. And for me, calling myself a recovering people pleaser, it didn't take away the shame, but it kept me trying to figure out what the rules were for. Like, how much was I required to people please to not be a true people pleaser? How much was I required to stand up for myself? But the problem with it wasn't the people pleasing. It was that I had made myself wrong for people pleasing. And I used recovery to make it okay, to continue working on fixing myself. It made me societally and socially acceptable. This is classic people pleasing, wearing 6-inch heels and a red lipstick, my friends. And when I had that realization, I decided instead, you know what? I'm going to stop trying to recover and just be with the people pleasing tendencies. And that opened up a whole new world for me, which it has also done for a lot of the clients that I work with. So I work with high achieving women who have achieved success. They've worked really hard. A lot of the way that they achieved the success was through hustling, through working really hard, proving their worth, people pleasing. And so they come to me, and when they come, they think, well, I want to go more. I want to create more in my life, but I feel like I have nothing left to give. And I agree with them. There's nothing left to give because there's nothing more to do. We're rather going to go inward and start to clear out some of this stuff that you've believed for years. And most of that work is just reestablishing their connection with themselves, starting with even just feeling shame about people pleasing. A lot of them, they start to recognize their inner child, that need to be seen and heard, even though they don't look and act like other people. They start to learn forgiveness. They start to learn how to love themselves. They start to create spaces for the parts of them that are not pleasing to other people to sit at the table. Because guess what? These are all parts of them after all. And it's the same for you. What is the part of you that you're trying to run away from, that you're trying to hide? Because if you bring that out, then people are not going to like you. That's where the work is. And for me, I know that that's when everything changed. I really learned how to communicate better, how to articulate my needs and what I wanted, and said it with grace without making it sound like I was fighting my children or my husband. I became a better human around my family. And I know people have told me, like, oh, I used to be so scared of you because of the way you approached, you know, your boundaries. But now I still have those boundaries. I just have them differently. I communicate them differently because I'm not fighting with anybody. Right? This is how we elevate our priority game. And so what could change for you if you adopted this way of thinking? Might you start saying yes to yourself? For sure, I know for my clients, their shame and guilt just like went out the door. They started treating themselves better. Their boundaries were no longer issues. They just like set boundaries and they finally felt excited about their lives. Because you can spend your entire life trying to recover from people pleasing, or you can just spend it creating a life that feels meaningful to you despite the people pleasing tendencies. Like I said before, a lot of the clients I work with, they have people pleasing tendencies. And the funny thing is when they come to me and we talk about, you know, how they're experiencing their life now, and often people will say, oh, there's no way that you're a people pleaser. That's the one thing that people tell me, which is funny because I'm very like, I will tell you that that inner pleasing tendency, sometimes it gets loud. But I don't make her wrong. And I remember one of my clients had come and she was talking about how her sister's friend, they were having a conversation and her sister's friend had made a comment about how, you know, my client was solid with her boundaries and she couldn't believe how she was taking care of herself and prioritizing herself. And then her sister goes, you know, she's a people pleaser, right? And the friend goes, there's no way she's a people pleaser. Like we start to see things happen because we're not fighting against this tendency that we have. We lean into understanding. We lean into partnering with ourselves. That's where the transformation happens. And I love doing this work because I believe that it's such a beautiful reflection of what we're here to do. I'm not just here to help people transform their mindset. I'm here to help them break patterns and help them to create new legacies for themselves and their loved ones, especially for women who have children, and those children are going to be future women. One of the biggest patterns that we struggle with as women is people pleasing. And I really want to look at it from an emotional risk perspective. At the core of who we are as humans, we want to be loved. We want to be valued. We want to be accepted. And for some people pleasers, something happens when they're a little younger that makes them want to perform, that makes them want to wear a mask to protect those core feelings, those feelings of feeling worthy and loved and belonging and accepted. And that means if anything tries to risk that connection, it becomes a threat. We might not think about it consciously, it does happen on a subconscious level. And so the work isn't about creating more boundaries and learning all the ways to say no. That's not the first step. It's recognizing the areas of your life where you haven't built the capacity for emotional risk tolerance. If your thing is that you like to be needed, then guess what? You're going to work hard so that you see all the ways that you're valuable in a relationship. This is very common with moms. And this is something that we're going to go in depth during the upcoming masterclass, Selfish. We're going to go beyond the conversation around boundaries and saying no, because there's so much to unpack and a podcast is not enough for that. That's why I set aside 3 days. So if you're listening to this in real time, go to oliveandbliss.ca/selfish and check out the details, register, come live. I'm going to be coaching people. We're going to work through your blocks because I want to see more women stand up for themselves and prioritize themselves and stop calling themselves recovering people pleasers. There's nothing to recover from. It's not a disease. If you're listening to this and the masterclass is over, come work with me. I always create space to support women who struggle with people pleasing because I know how hard that can be sometimes. So send me an email, hello@oliveandbliss.ca, or come find me on social media or LinkedIn. I'm at Wimil Guta, and let's create your transformation in real time. So if you're struggling with people pleasing, here's a question I want you to ask yourself. Where in my life do I lack the capacity for emotional risk? If I have my boundaries, if I stand up for myself, if I want what I want unapologetically, if I ask for what I desire and someone says no, and someone gets mad at me, and someone gets upset with me, will I be okay? What am I willing to risk? This is the question that we really want to answer at the core of our beings. Because the truth is that most of us are not willing to risk that relationship. We're not willing to risk the money. We're not willing to risk the experience that we're having for the authentic part of us to show up. The cost of being our real selves is not worth it at this point. And so we default to people pleasing. And this is helpful for you to see and decide for yourself, because when you see this, you decide this relationship, the money, you know, the experience is too valuable for me to want to risk it. And then you can make a powerful decision to say, I choose to people please in this circumstance. And this is one of the most beautiful, the most powerful thing you can do for yourself. And also, you don't have to be in recovery because you've decided there's nothing to recover from. So I'm going to share a story about my mom, because I think when I was thinking about this, it's so valuable for me to sit here and share my thoughts. But also, this is one of the experiences that I think really solidified that I had grown in my experience of navigating and moving away from this identity of I'm always a people pleaser. And it was before I married my husband. I remember like it was yesterday. I was in this space where I was going into a marriage, and as someone who had never wanted to get married, I had so many fears and doubts. And I knew that part of that was just from my experience seeing the generational patterns of stressed out, overwhelmed, disgruntled women and unfulfilled marriages. And I did not want that. And so I made a decision that this was going to end with my siblings and I. There are 6 of us, or 4 girls and 2 boys. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to create a new legacy for myself and my children. And hopefully someday my siblings too, who at that time were not speaking to me because of some family things that were going on. But my real test came when I stood up to my mom regarding my wedding location. She said, come to Nigeria. And I said, no, we're going to do it in Canada. And there it was, the moment to decide. Was I willing to risk being a good girl to my mom? Or was I going to risk and stand up for what I knew in my heart and intuition that that's what I wanted? Obviously, there were so many reasons tied to that, which made sense to me. She also had her reasons, which made sense to her, but we weren't willing to negotiate, and I was not willing to shift on that decision. And so my mom wasn't at my wedding. And I remember I used to feel so much shame because I knew people wouldn't understand. And I thought, well, people are going to judge me if they hear this. So I don't even know. I just made up something and told people I couldn't explain. And people just stopped asking. But when I went home in 2016, I remember having a conversation with my mom. And she told me how proud she was for me standing up and having the courage to be the woman that she wasn't capable of being. And in that moment, I felt my heart open and close all at the same time. It was one of the most liberating experiences I had ever had. And I think it was really more important for me because in October of 2017, my mom passed away. And I just remember how grateful I felt that I had had the opportunity to go and see her in person. And, you know, we talked about all of the things and just the challenges that she had of not being courageous enough, of always prioritizing what people thought about her and wanting to be in everyone's good books and hustling for her worth. So in a way, I'm sharing this story because I know there's so many of us that our need to please will typically come from our relationships with our moms, and there's nothing wrong in that, but you have to be conscious about the level of risk, again, that you're willing to take. Sometimes you might not be ready for that journey yet. And so how can you get support to help you prepare for that? Sometimes you might be ready, but you just don't have the right words. How can you get support to help you through that? For me, I never have fear for my clients who come to me talking about how they struggle with people pleasing. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with asking ourselves the big question and deciding what level of risk am I at in this season of my life, and then being okay with that. And so here's your permission this week. If you're still calling yourself a recovering people pleaser, find all the ways that you can take small risks to give yourself the love, the acceptance that you desire, all of the things that you're performing for other people so that you can get. I'll leave that up to your imagination. Have a beautiful week, and I will talk to you soon.